Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen in. Previously on The Rundown with Laura Green.
When I do get on a starting line, I still love to race. So, like, I am there to race. The no one cares comes in when I start sucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I care. Like, why else would I be out there unless I cared? But I think that, like, everyone thinks they're a pro athlete. Everyone thinks that they're, like, We tend to get very anxious pre-races, and I don't. That's actually something that I do well. I can laugh off everything.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a fun conversation with professional triathlete Katie Zafiris. Katie was a natural runner growing up, becoming a multi-time cross-country champion in high school. She was later identified by the USA Triathlon Recruitment Program and never looked back. She's been competing at the elite level for almost 10 years now, and has shown steady progress throughout her career. Katie thought that starting a family would slow her down, but instead it's only fueled her fire for competition. This episode of The Rundown is brought to you by Exact Nutrition. It's no secret that proper fueling leads to better performance. Now with tasty energy bars, protein bars, and electrolyte tablets, Exact Nutrition has got you covered before, during, and after your run. They even have a plant-based option. They currently ship to Canada and the US, so order yourself a sample pack and give them a try. You'll even receive 15% off your order when you use the promo code LARUNDOWN. So go to exactnutrition.com and fuel your goals today. In this week's news, if you're looking for a last minute Christmas gift for the runner in your life, you could get them a weekend away next spring at the Outrun Retreat. Led by Montreal's elite Ariane Rabi, she offers a full experience for runners of all levels. It includes a place to sleep for 3 nights, guided runs, run-specific workshops, and delicious meals every day. If you want to learn more, head to theoutrun.ca. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this event, special offerings, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. We've had a bunch of runners on the show, elites, weekend warriors, and we've had a few triathletes too. Today is one of those days, and she's got a whole list of accolades I could list off, but it might take me an hour. Just to keep it simple, she's a two-time Olympian and two-time medalist, a recent mom, and I can't wait for her to share her story. I'd like to welcome to the show Katie Zafiris.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Actually, you know, we're kind of connected in a way, and I'll tell you why. Back in 2019, when you were in Montreal for the World Championships, my friend told me a story. He said, I was in the elevator of a hotel, and there was a triathlete in there. And I asked her how she did, and she said, well, I won the race. And he couldn't believe it, you know, my friend Jay, good friend of mine. But he's like, you got to have her on the show. And I said, well, you know, and here we are two or three years later. So
that's really funny.
Yeah. So well, I'm from Montreal and this is a Montreal based podcast. What was your experience like over there?
Oh, I love Montreal. I just think it's really cool to have a place in North America that's very, like, has so much history in it, or feels so much, at least to me, like Europe, and just the setting's beautiful. Just being able to go and have, like, the town being really nice to just walk around. It's like a great atmosphere to be in without thinking about racing or training, but then also, like, with the bike paths and having, like, the F1 track to train on. And it's just, like, very conducive to also triathlon. So, I mean, I really enjoy your city. I was going to say that city, but I really enjoy your city.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, it's exciting for people spectating too, just the way the course is set up. I'm not quite sure how it's set up in other places in the world, but the way the bike course is, where you do like multiple laps and the run, yeah. It makes it really like the fans can get really involved in that, you know. How much do you like feed off of the crowd when you are racing?
Oh, a ton. I mean, like, you definitely can feel a crowd when you have a crowd, and you can definitely feel an absence when you don't have a crowd. And like races like Montreal, also like Hamburg, Germany, Bermuda, they all are like known for having so many spectators, and to be able to pull that energy into a race is just really fun. And also, like, it gets you, like, it gets me excited to race in a place that's excited to have us there. So,
right.
It's definitely makes it even more special. And for me, Montreal is like one of the closest races we actually have to racing, like, at home. None of the races on the circuit are actually in the United States, or haven't been for the last couple of years. And so Montreal is a place where like my family and friends will come and to be able to watch. And I've had quite the like crew of like family and friends support her there. So that's also makes it super special. Actually, one of my favorite like memories of being in Montreal has really nothing to do with the city, but my nephew had come to watch one of my races or in Montreal, and he was getting into the taxi and he's like, "You're my best friend." And I like, it was like one of those moments where I'm like, I'm never going to forget this.
No. Oh. And the French hasn't given you a hard time or anything being here?
No, no. I mean, I don't know any French, and I haven't, the little bit that I've tried, I get too shy to actually like practice. but no, it's been nice.
Don't worry, I won't be switching this conversation to French by any means. So
he wouldn't get much out of me.
and you were just saying before we got on here, like, you just finished a run. I did too. I think that might be a requirement for all future interviews that we have to do a run before. But has it been more difficult for you to get out recently with your newborn?
Yeah, it's for sure much more of a balancing act. I mean, my husband works from home, so there's a little bit of flexibility with Tommy doing that. But everything has to be like around his schedules, his calls. And then we do have a babysitter who comes like 3 times a week for 3 hours each time. So that's also given a little bit more space. But everything, like before, I mean, like, I would just go out the door whenever I wanted to and didn't have to put any thought into it. And now, like, not only is it planning in like who's taking care of Kimball, but also Kimball's my son, mm-hmm. who is 4 months old, but also like when he's eaten, or like trying not to disrupt like too much like napping and things like that. So we're still trying to figure out our best rhythm and routine and being a family of three, and also being an elite athlete. But mm-hmm. it's definitely really nice. Like today we went to a trail that's here called the American Tobacco Trail to meet up with a friend for me to run with. And while I was running, Tommy was walking with Kimball on the trail. And I like love when they overlap and mm-hmm. like we're the same place together, but doing right. my thing yeah. and his thing.
Yeah, it makes it more like, you know, everyone's together, and it's not like I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing, or stay home with the kid. You know, it's more more involved as a family. So that's great. And is Tommy still competing as well, or is he more focused? I know he's a photographer too. So is he more focused on that side?
So he actually just this year started a position with USA Triathlon as the talent ID coordinator, which is basically. So how I got into triathlon was I was recruited by the collegiate recruitment program of USA Triathlon. And what they do is they look for athletes who like ran Division I and have a background in swimming. And that was what identified me and got me on this path. And so now that's basically his job. It has a different name, and they still call it the collegiate recruitment program for part of his job, but he's looking for athletes. And so he'll always be like scanning like the NCAA results list, and then like cross like sectioning to see if they're part of swimming or have any swim times. So he does that. And then he also does, like, he's leaving on Monday for Abu Dhabi to work as a photographer at the race for World Triathlon, which he's been doing for the past few years. So he's and he still rides bikes and runs, but he doesn't swim anymore. But Okay. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, and then that's going to be a challenge for you too, like the just you and your new child. So, has it been? Would you say more challenging than you thought?
I don't know if it's more challenging than I thought, because actually I had thought once like Tokyo was over, I had kind of like, this is now like a couple years ago, but my plan had always been like to basically stop triathlon to have a family, because I thought it would be too hard to be both an elite athlete and be a mom as well. So I think it's up to par with how challenging I thought it would be. I'm definitely glad that I'm like attempting to come back and race at a high level again. And especially like come back to, right now, my plan is to come back to Olympic style racing or the World Triathlon Championship Series and try to qualify for Paris. But it's definitely as hard as I thought it would be. but it's been really inspiring and helpful to see a lot of different athletes who are moms kind of find their way and figure out a way to do it that works for each family. And so that's kind of like what Tommy and myself are trying to figure out is, okay, like if we're going to do this, what works for our family? And my priority is Kimball, and like sport is secondary to that at the moment and will be for forever probably. so it's just trying to do what I'm comfortable with as a mom and now as an athlete too.
Right. And so why the shift from, because you thought you would stop, to continuing even with a kid?
Mainly, I love my job and I like my friends, and I didn't want to give up before I even tried it and say, no, I can't do it, or I don't think I can balance this without even attempting it. And I think I looked at it as previously, I looked at it as like, oh, like my lifestyle would take away a lot from like my son. And then as it got closer to having Kimball, I'm like, wow, my lifestyle could give a lot to him and give him a lot of experiences and introduce him to like all the amazing people and the amazing community that we've gotten to be a part of for the last 8 years. So I think it was just a shift of like, maybe not saying like, oh, I know I can do this, but saying, well, I want to try before I say I can't.
Right. Yeah. And that's always important, you know, like otherwise you might live with this idea or this thought of like what could be, what could have been, instead of like, yeah. And instead you're just pursuing it. And like you say, like just giving it a shot and seeing if it works or not. And do you find like that there's a lot of people or a lot of women going through, or families going through the same thing that you are, athletes at a high level? Like, is there a big support system for that?
I think there's a growing support system, and I think it's becoming a lot more normal. And there's definitely athletes who have really like carried the weight on doing that for us. And like for me specifically, there's a open water swimmer, Ashley Twitchell, who she's in the area here in the Triangle area in North Carolina. And I kind of met her when we moved to Cary in 2021, and then we both went to Tokyo together, but we didn't really I wouldn't say we were friends at that point, but we knew each other. And then she got pregnant just a little bit earlier than I did. So she has a son who's 5 weeks older than Kimball, and we've really like bonded over now doing this together of like going through pregnancy, like, and transitioning from the Olympics to like being a mom, having a baby, and now back into like getting back into training again. And even though we're doing different sports, like that doesn't really matter because we're going through a lot of the same emotions and physical like experiences of just like it being pretty hard and being really far off. But also there's also a lot of wins and a lot of really like amazing things, like not just like, well, watching our sons like develop and just like learn new things, but also like, I mean, just coming back from the run today, I was texting her because we were both like, both of our sons went down for a nap and they just laid like they were like her son Locke was like trying to practice how to crawl during his nap time, and my son Kimball was just like playing the whole time, and I'm like laying on the bed in the other room being like, oh, please take a nap so I can take a nap.
Yeah, right. And like, and then the training too is like hard enough as it is, like especially at your level too. So yeah, that's it's a tough fact to, you know, you're juggling everything all at once, you know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, yeah, that's insane. So how was it, you know, and on top of it, you're coming off an Olympic too, you know, like what a huge Olympic showing for you, the second one that you had. What was that experience like, having already done it before in 2016?
Yeah, so 2016, I came away pretty disappointed with my result, and also just with how I like took in the whole experience. I know like going to the Olympics is amazing, but like we were like leading into the race, I was just so tunnel visioned on the race that I really didn't like take in the full Olympic experience in Rio. And then like my race was over, I was disappointed, and the Olympics was basically over because we were the second to last day of events. So like I went to the closing ceremonies and that was amazing, and I went to the Olympic Village, but like everyone had kind of left, so like I felt like I was really disappointed with myself just in how I like my whole perspective, and also with how I raced. And it was a really big like pivot point for me. So I almost, even though I was like not happy with things, it really paved the way for me. And now I'm very thankful because I think it made me like a million times better, and also made my perspective and just how I mentally processed things and how I like mentally progressed as an athlete over the next like, well, what ended up being 5 years, was really helpful. Because going into Tokyo, my dad passed away in the April right before the Olympics. And that was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And I didn't, like at that point, I hadn't qualified for the Olympics. It was coming down to whether or not that I was going to be selected for a discretionary selection. And it was between me and one other American, Taylor Spivey, who, like, Taylor Spivey has been super consistent, and was having a more consistent year than I was, where my year was a lot more turbulent. After my dad passed away, I had, like, two of the worst races of my career. And I just, like, the unknown of whether I was even going to go to the Olympics for Tokyo was pretty high. So then after I was selected, I was like pretty, like I had this moment of clarity, I feel like, once I got selected, that was like, I can do this. Like I was feeling like very, like I am the same Katie that I was before, and I can bring it together. But then like, you always like, after that really big moment of confidence, you're always like, but maybe I'm not, like, and so to go to Tokyo and to like, not only have two very good races, I got the bronze medal in the individual race, and then was part of the mixed team relay, which was the debut of the mixed team relay in the Olympics in history. And the Americans, we got silver. And to be able to do that after like everything, kind of just like everything I'd gone through the past couple months, and just to like, it was really special and it was really meaningful and very fulfilling. Like I like say I was the happiest like bronze medalist there ever was, because there's no part of me that felt disappointed about where I finished. I was very happy with the whole thing, and being able to be in Tokyo and stay in the Olympic Village and see all the other athletes, even if we couldn't go to the other races, even if family and friends couldn't be there, like there was still a lot that I feel like I was just was really a lot more grateful and like open to how cool everything was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot there to unpack, you know. And I mean, that's also a COVID year too, right? The 2020 Olympics as well. And so like your father, you know, passing, you know, maybe affected some of your performances, and would you say like he had a big impact on you?
Oh, my dad. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's the one who I did like my first triathlon with ever. I just graduated from high school and he had wanted to sign up for this triathlon on Father's Day. It's the Try to Win triathlon that used to be in South Carolina, Maryland. And he had like, I'm one of three daughters. And for some reason, I was like the chosen one to do it with him. And so the first triathlon I ever did was with him. And at the moment, I thought I was doing it for him. Like, it's something he wanted to do. And I was just fulfilling, like, the daughter spot for this Father's Day try. But I think I learned, like, years later that he actually had thought that I might be good at it. And so he wanted to get me in it. And that was kind of his way of doing it. And when I said, yes, I'll do the triathlon with you, he basically had to learn how to swim. So... like we went to the pool and I was like helping him swim, and he'd always joke that he had asked me about my feedback on like his stroke, and I said something and he asked someone else and they told him it was like completely rubbish, and I was like, yeah, but I can't tell you you're doing everything wrong. Yeah. But no, my dad, he's probably like my biggest fan and supporter, and I'm actually like in a weird way kind of thankful for the COVID year, because it actually ended up my husband Tommy and I we ended up actually living with my parents for a lot of that year because we didn't know where to go and we didn't really have a home at that point, so my parents let us be their roommates. And during that time my dad passed away unexpectedly, and I'm just very thankful that I wasn't traveling, because normally we're traveling like I think like 2/3 of the year, and we're not really home. And so to actually like be home, be with him, just having like normal day-to-day interactions was something I really am grateful for. And yeah, he was in 2019, it was one of my best years I ever had as a triathlete. It was a year I was world champion, and my mom and dad were at like multiple races, and it was a really special year for that too. So, yeah, he big part of my life.
Yeah. And you put the cherry on top with the Olympic medals, and you know, I'm sure he'd be super proud of you and looking down on you. And I love it. I read in your bio, like that part of it and what he said, you know, race hard, but most of all have fun. I think, that's a big lesson for so many athletes. Doesn't matter what level you're at, you know, it's okay to push yourself, but as long as you're enjoying it, I think that's a great lesson your dad passed on to you. So
yeah, he like having parents, both him and my mom, I think that really never cared like where I was like crossing the finish line, but always just wanted like race hard, tie your shoes tight, like that was my collegiate, but my dad would just say like swim hard, bike hard, run hard, and like have fun, have ice cream afterwards. And that was, I can remember like after Rio when I was super disappointed, or after actually multiple races when I was super disappointed, he's always just like, just don't worry. It's just running. It's just triathlon. Like, yeah, he really didn't care. And I think that made me better, because I was never trying to like do things for them. It was always trying to be the best athlete I could be, but it was for myself. And I think you do a lot better when you do things for yourself rather than like to try and please other people.
Yeah. And that, but that's always a hard thing with parents too. Like you like, we have this thing inherited in us that we want to make them proud. You know, I find like, I have that sometimes. I catch myself like, you know, you just want to always do right by your parents, you know, like the way you bring you into, and it's just like, yeah, you want to do it for you, but like you want your parents to be like proud of you, you know, but, and then you realize like what's important to them and what you think is important is not the same. And that's kind of cool that you've recognized that too, you know? I'm just looking at your, like your progression, you know, in the triathlon, the World Triathlon Championships, like 2015, 2016, like you're all the way to 2019 to the gold, and your progression was fantastic through that. It's just like get a place stronger every year. I mean, if athletes could do that, I mean that's an amazing feat that you did. What can attribute to this kind of consistent like growth in the sport when you were doing it for already quite some time?
I feel like one of the biggest factors for that was like never trying to rush from when I started entering the sport. Like when I first started triathlon, it was all about just like learning it and trying to figure out like, okay, like what is triathlon? Because besides doing that one race with my dad, like I didn't really know what Olympic style racing was like, or like draft legal, or like world triathlon type racing. Like I didn't know that could be my profession. I didn't know it was an Olympic sport at the time. So there was like a lot of learning that happened that first year. And 2013 was my first year of racing as a professional. And so I think like me being in the mindset of, oh, I'm just learning, kind of got me through from 2013 to 2016. I think I felt like, oh, I'm just learning, I'm new here. Like, and that kind of relieved a lot of pressure from me. Mm-hmm. And then after 2016, I think that was when I started taking a lot more ownership in my career, where I was like, oh, okay, like, no, I like, I'm still learning, but like, I also know some things and I know I need to get better. And I'm realizing there's certain things I need to implement. Like after 2016, I started working with a nutritionist more regularly. I started working with a sports psych more regularly, because before that I would always like reactively be like, oh, I need to talk to someone when like things were going like not well, rather than just have a regular person to speak to that kind of just kept me more level and helped me learn skills along the way. Mm-hmm. And then like also like started working with someone for strength and just kind of like, yeah, like figuring it out a lot more. And but also like not trying to do anything like too special or too crazy, just like putting in the work day after day, year after year, and never settling or thinking I'd reached like my peak. And even actually when you asked me about like coming back into sport now after having Kimball, like another reason is I just don't feel like I ever got to like, this is the best I can be. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is, when I retire from triathlon, I want to be like done with it. I want to be like, well, that's all I've got to give to this sport. Like now time to move on. Like, and I don't actually feel that way. And I think that's what's happened, is I'm like incrementally, like the work has been put in year after year, and that shows itself. I've also, because I feel like I've, and sometimes I kind of, I'm not sure if this is a great thing, but like, because I've never done anything too crazy, or like training is always like kind of like I can do one more. That's how I finish most of my workouts. And so I haven't like been injured or had like a lot of sicknesses. I mean, my injuries have all been like bike crashes. So they've taken me out for like not so long for the most part.
Yeah, that's always the dangerous part, is that bike, you know, and
yeah,
training rides. Are you going outside for these training rides, or are you one of these triathletes that has a pain cave or something in their house?
My husband has a pain cave in our house, but I do not like riding inside at all. I don't like training inside. I really like being outside. I don't like being on the treadmill or riding stationary. I will if like the weather is super terrible or it doesn't make sense for like timing, but it's definitely outside just because of cars. But still I go outside and just wear high visibility and try to time it right with less cars on the road.
Yeah. And I agree with you there. Like I'm one of these outside people too, like being on a treadmill, or like I can't even stand the thought of like just staying on a bike for a couple hours in my basement. Like I just drives me nuts. Like I had you know, there's a few triathletes that we've spoken to that I just put music on, or just like, and I just don't see it. So the thing about, you know, you're a professional, you have access to all these things, you know, nutritionist, and you have resources, you know, but for just like your everyday person, what's a pro tip you would give them? You know, we don't have all these resources. What could you say an athlete can implement easily without having, you know, break the bank, let's say?
Well, for strength and things, like, I really don't have like the biggest strength setup or anything in my house. It's actually very like janky right now, but like I just have like, what, I think I have 4 kettlebells and like a step up thing, and you can do a lot with it. And you can also find, I mean, the internet's pretty amazing with like routines you can find for strength. And even so, like, I also do this thing, and I have an Instagram series on my Instagram called Planks in Pajamas. And basically it's 10 minutes of planks every night. And for a while we were doing it live, but since being pregnant and being a mom, I've kind of fallen off that a bit. But the idea is that if you do 10 minutes a day of planks, or like, it's not just planks, but 10 minutes a day of different exercises for your core, like that actually adds up, because it's 70 minutes per week where you're like, well, that's actually pretty solid. It's like 2 times a week of doing 35 minutes of strength. But people might not think they have the time for that. But when you put it in 10 minute increments, it's quite easy. And so right now I'm actually still doing it, but I do it with my mom and my sister every night at 8:30. We FaceTime and we do 10 minutes of the different core exercises. And it's like, I think for people like who are busy, being able to have like, for me, it's the accountability of like, my mom and my sister are going to do it with me. And also it's 10 minutes. Like, for like, you can do that, or you can pretty much fit it in. And then for like the mental side of things, I mean, reading a lot of books, like I love Let Your Mind Run by Dina Castor. I picked up like a whole lot of gems from there about like my mentality for racing. I really like the book Mind Gym, for just like easy reads of how to like kind of fill up your mental toolbox. And that's actually like something Dina Castor uses in her book, is your mental toolbox. It's like, you want to have multiple things you can use in there, not just like a one size fits all. So I think you can do a lot also just by kind of educating yourself. And if you enjoy reading, like I do, like those are two of my books that I kind of like fall back on and like to look into again when like I write down the quotes. And so like before races, sometimes I'll go through the quotes of like, oh yeah, okay.
You have any favorites
of the quotes? Oh gosh, yeah. No, I wouldn't be, I'm terrible with being able to quote things like movie quotes, anything. No, I'd butcher anything. But besides Dina Castor's like part about just having a toolbox, so it's like, I think when people think of mental strategies, it's like, okay, I'm going to visualize or like segment or do like have positive affirmations. And it's like all of like, you really can't just depend on one, because one might last you for like 5 seconds in a race. So it's being able to like have a bigger amount of things that you can fall back on. And in order to have these things be effective in racing, you need to practice them in your training and take the time to kind of build that toolbox up. Like, it's not just going to happen because you think about it once.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. It's practice as you know, in your training, like you say, and getting familiar with it. So you have these maybe mental cues that you use. And because like in Olympic distance racing, it's like pretty much all out, isn't it?
Yeah, for the most part. But I think what I realized is that like segmenting kind of helps me a lot, because our races are so many loops, like sometimes in the middle, I'll just be like, oh, like, I don't know, I'll just get kind of like distracted. So like being able to like break apart a race into multiple points to keep me entertained is helpful.
Okay.
I'm going to need even better ones if I go long distance triathlon.
I was going to ask, is that like the progression here, you know, like how long will you do the Olympic distance racing before you move on to, because a lot of athletes do that, you know, they move on to half or full Ironmans, but I mean, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I'm probably not, I don't even know if I know, because originally I was planning on doing long distance now, and now I'm not doing that right now. So, but what I love is I love all the different formats of racing, and it's really hard, or what I found is it's really hard to balance being able to do all of them. Like I do Super League, which is a really short course format, which is much more like dynamic and very different than like it's draft legal and it's swim, bike, run. But like some of the races are like swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, back to back to back to back with no break in between, or like swim, bike, run, run, bike, swim. I don't even remember what the other, like bike, swim, run. I don't know. They mess. Oh, wow. They mess with the normal triathlon format. And it's like more super sprint, but multiple times. So I like that format. I like World Triathlon's format. I like the little bit of longer distance that I've gotten to do with the Collins Cup. And so I would love to do like, I can't say like Ironman, like Kona really appeals to me right now. Like that's like, I don't think I could say that until I like really do like at least half distance more, more frequently, because I went to Kona once and people were like, oh, you better watch out, you're going to catch the Kona bug. And I was like, after like a tiny bit of training on the Queen K, which is like this, the highway that they do most of their ride on, I was like ready to quit triathlon in general, like the whole thing. So I did not catch the bug. Maybe it'll come, but right now it hasn't.
Yeah, the bug got you sick, and then you're sick.
Yeah. I'm fatigued from just spectating.
Yeah, and also probably the amount of hours that you would need to train for something like that. You know, like we're talking about balancing family life and taking care of your little one might not work out, you know, as well either, you know, for now anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe we'll cross that bridge one day, but for now, the focus at least through like 2024 is probably the shorter distance. And then I really would love to do like 70.3s, but, it's just so hard to do both.
Yeah, no, of course. I always like to go back to when you were younger and see kind of like what kind of kid were you? Like, I know your dad seems like an active guy. So can you kind of run us through that and kind of let us know when running came into play?
So growing up, my parents got me involved in like a lot of different things. I mean, I think I did dance, I did gymnastics, I did softball, basketball, lacrosse, soccer, swimming, then running. And so like I kind of dabbled in everything. I would say like my main sports became swimming, soccer, and lacrosse for most of my what I would have considered childhood then, though now that I'm old, I guess like my childhood lasted a lot longer. But like through high school, it was like mainly soccer, swimming, lacrosse. And when I quit lacrosse because I decided that wasn't for me anymore, I started running to stay in shape for soccer in the fall. So it was never like going to be my main sport. My older sister ran, and that was like, to me, that was her sport. And like swimming and soccer were kind of mine. But the first year that I ran, I ended up winning a couple state championships. I'm from Maryland, so it's a small state. So it's not like California, but it was still
still something,
and at least in Maryland it got me some recognition, and I ended up going out like for the team for soccer in the fall, and I made the team, but they told me I wasn't going to get much playing time. And so ultimately on picture day, actually I was in my soccer uniform, but I was talking to a childhood coach of mine, and I don't know what we talked or how we came to the conclusion, but we came to the conclusion that I was running cross country. So I actually ended up in the cross country picture instead. And I remember crying and being like, so sad, because all my friends were on the soccer team. And, but it was like the transition of me, like being a swimmer and becoming a runner. And, that was like my sophomore year in high school was when I started track, and then each year of my remaining high school years I picked up, like the next year was cross country and outdoor track, and the next year was cross country indoor and outdoor track, and then I graduated and was kind of looking at a lot of different universities. I was looking at like Slippery Rock in Pennsylvania. I was looking at Syracuse. I was looking at University of Delaware, Elon. Like, it was just like really like, it probably made no sense when people look at like what schools I was looking at, but I was deciding whether I wanted to swim or whether I wanted to run or whether I wanted to swim and run in college. And ultimately I went to Syracuse on a recruiting trip, and I really, really enjoyed Coach Fox and Coach Bell, and ended up committing there. And I asked them, like, will I be able to swim? And they're like, yeah, like, you can swim like in your free time. And I think I got to the pool like twice in my like 4 years of competing at Syracuse. Like, I did not swim while I was there.
Well, that's interesting. But, and so would you say like the swimming, I guess the swimming is what you gravitated towards?
For when I was little, you mean? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that was like one of the main sports, probably the one I took like the most seriously, just because I was a YMCA swimmer and I was trying to qualify for like YMCA short course nationals in Fort Lauderdale. And that was like a big thing to me, at that point. And it was probably the one that, I mean, people would always joke that like I would come to like the indoor soccer games with like my hair wet because I would have just been coming from like swimming practice. And my mom, I don't know how my dad would be like working during the week, but my mom was a teacher and she would be the one who would be running me and my sisters to all over the place. And I have like no idea how she did it. Like it's pretty incredible now, like thinking of it. And now as I become a mom too, I was like, yeah, I don't really know. She's a superwoman. Yeah.
Super mom, exactly. And but I bet you're happy now that you have that kind of pedigree in the pool. You know, I think for a lot of like triathletes, like even myself, you know, I got into the, you know, I started with duathlon and then I did Olympic and then it was the half and full. And but the swimming is just like my nemesis, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate having the like background in swimming and feeling very like confident as a swimmer. I mean, I love swimming like in the pool and that being my sport, but I also just love going to the beach and being in the ocean. And like, so I really like swimming would probably be, I couldn't do just swimming. I'm very glad I found triathlon because I don't think I could be just a swimmer at the highest level. Like they're it's insane. Like I swim right now with the swimmers and my friend, and like I'm getting out after like the first like round, which is like 1500 meters of swimming in round one of the main set, and then they're doing it at least three more times. Like, yeah, and I'm like, all right, I'm good after like 4K.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I'm envious of those people that are able to just hammer out workouts in the pool and it's like no big deal, you know. But yeah, that's awesome. Like now, you know, your husband's looking at athletes and who's going to be up, you know, next up and coming athletes. Who saw that potential in you, or did you recognize that in yourself?
Oh no, I definitely didn't recognize it in myself. I think so. Barb Lindquist was like the USA Triathlon Collegiate Recruitment Program, like coordinator. I don't know what I actually don't know what the title was, but like she's the one who was in charge of it at the time. And she found me. And I think it was like a mix of my college coach reaching out to her because he knew I had a swimming background and kind of knew I wasn't going to be a professional runner. and then like my dad, and also even my like swim coach growing up, there's a newspaper article from really early on where he's like, I think she might be a good triathlete. And it's like funny to my mom had kept it. And I like read it a while ago and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. I like knew any of this. Like, I don't know where my head was, but it was in the clouds when it was coming to people thinking that I might be a good triathlete, because I really didn't know the sport well enough to ever think that. And even getting like started in it, it was just, I didn't I don't think I like knew enough to know that I was actually getting pretty good. Like my first year of racing professionally, I won a couple World Cups and I just kind of thought that was like normal. But I now looking back, I was like, oh, that was pretty good. Like, I'm very happy though that that's like where I was at with the amount that I was like aware of, because I think that made it a lot less stressful, like mm-hmm. just kind of going about it and not really knowing what I was doing, but not in like a non-serious way. Like I was serious about triathlon. I just didn't have a complete understanding of the sport at that point.
Right. And like, you know, I end up with like rookie of the year, if I read that correctly. You know, so that's got to be like a nice kind of thing for a young kid coming in and, you know, getting into the sport and like a good start to your career too. Like, did you ever think you would be a professional athlete, or did you have other plans going through school?
No, I never thought I went to school to be a physical education teacher. And then even when I was like kind of starting, like through the collegiate recruitment program, they then gave us this opportunity to, once I graduated from Syracuse, to go to the Olympic Training Center to train to be a professional triathlete. And at that point I was like applying to grad schools to be like in like community health or health education. And it was a really big decision for me to choose to go to the Olympic Training Center, because I guess I had like this realist view where I like was very aware of like how few of people make it to the Olympics. And like, I don't think I was ever the like child to be like, oh, I'm going to make it to the Olympics, or I want to be an Olympian. It's because I respect Olympians like so much. And like, I'm like just thinking like, that might be too high of an aspiration for me, which I don't know if that sounds bad to say, but it was like, I'll go and like get a job and kind of start a family and just a more traditional route. And then it's kind of funny because my route has ended up being anything but traditional. And like, even when, so like another way that my dad really played a huge role is after saying, like, coming to the conclusion, like, I'm not going to get a chance later on to go to the Olympic Training Center and train. Like, this is something I need to say yes to. And so my dad and I drove out from Maryland to Colorado Springs, and we took like multiple days to do it. And I think out like an hour away from getting into the springs, I was like, Dad, I don't want to do this. I want to go home. Like, I was just like scared and intimidated by everything. And like, just, it felt risky. And my dad was just like, Katie, like, if you don't like it, like, give it some time. And if you don't like it, I'll fly back and we'll drive back together. And it was like, just another way of that, like, soft guidance of like, you can do this hard thing, but if you don't want to, like, that's okay too. Like, we just want you to be happy. So, I never ended up having to call him to come and drive me back. And instead I like, it's very cool to think of all these opportunities, and also pretty incredible to think like what led to it. Like all those little moments where you're like, oh, this could have gone, like if no one ever if Barb Lindquist never saw my, like, contacted me for the program, like I would probably never be a triathlete. So I have a lot of people to thank who got me here.
Yeah. And then like, you sound super grateful too for it, you know, and that's a nice thing to hear as well, you know, to identify that and realize that. And, you know, it probably still, you know, carry that with you today, and it still makes you a great athlete, great person too. So that's awesome. What do you think sets you apart? You know, maybe at that stage you were a certain way or a certain type of athlete. What do you think sets you apart from the lucky few that make it, as an Olympian, as a top level athlete in the sport for many years?
Well, I think a bit of it is luck of just like having, like, I was very again, very lucky to have like the support of USA Triathlon from the very beginning of my career, like given like a ton of resources, given lots of opportunities, like and like going to the Olympic Training Center and going to like different places. Like we went to Phoenix to train, we went to Europe to train, and just kind of having that guidance like from the get-go was, I've accelerated my growth as a triathlete exponentially. I think a huge part is just like always evolving, and knowing like what works for me and trying to find like the best fit. It wasn't trying to find like the easiest thing or trying to find the quickest remedy for like coaches. Like the coach that I wanted to have once I like kind of graduated from the USA Triathlon program, like I just kept in contact with him, and now he's been my coach since 2013, and I've only had, or since, I'm sorry, it was not 2013, since 2015, and I've had him like the whole way through. And I think just like looking for that right community to be surrounded by was really a big factor, and being able to create that and not just kind of expect it to fall into place. And it put me in a really good place where I'm not tired of triathlon. I'm very happy. I think I can do more. I'm like, not rushing was really something that I think helped me to just kind of like keep growing, but not in a like way where I felt like I was pass fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. And I think too, like you see other athletes now, you know, with plenty of experience, lots of pedigree, having success later on in their careers too, you know, that's also must be encouraging to see that, to be elevated by other athletes. You see it in, you know, in marathon running, you see it in long distance triathlon too. Is there other, you know, other people that you're looking up to in the sport to kind of like that have paved the way already?
Yeah, I think so. Like when I first got started, it was mainly Sarah True and Gwen Jorgensen who were really the top Americans, and they were finishing on podiums together at the highest level. And I think what helped me aspire to that is I wanted to be the third person on the podium with them, because I wanted to have an All-American podium. And the cool part was that we actually achieved that, and I was on multiple podiums with them. And then like there were multiple other All-American podiums. And those are really special ones because it kind of shows how like athletes kind of live up to what other athletes are doing. Because for me, being able to see like Gwen and Sarah do something, I was like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Like, and I think I feel that way a lot when being able to see other athletes do something. And now like it's the same thing as a mom and an athlete, where I like seeing other moms be athletes and I'm like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So that definitely helps. And I think that's something that athletes who are developing, they should like look up to other people to see that it's possible. You just have to like put in the work and find the right path to it.
Mm-hmm. And what's the hardest part about being a professional?
Probably comparing yourself to others and just really like sticking to what works for you and not always thinking like doing more is the best thing. Like I feel that another part is I'm able to like take my easy days easy and my hard days hard. And I think that's added to my longevity in this sport, is just being able to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off, like in races and workouts, be like all in. But on my easy runs, like I like that time to recover and go really slow and run with people I don't normally run with, and just kind of have that be very different. I think the community is really, really, really important, and who you're surrounded by really impacts your career.
Is the community very present where you are, or is this some, like, you know, is it at a distance, or what would you say about that?
All of the above. Yeah, I'd say both. I think, especially with like phones and things now, like having, like, I have my community of like my family and my friends who, when we're in the thick of things with racing, well, in the past, I don't know how it is like going forward now, but I've always been away more. So like, but having the support of them and being able to talk to them and everything, that's meant a lot. But then also having like community being like my coaches, my teammates who I train with, my, like my husband, my, like the people I work with who are like my like support crew, like that we were talking about with like dietitian and like those types of resources. And then like really getting to know the triathlon, like my competitors, the officials, the other coaches from other countries, like all of that, I think it's what's going to make it the most enjoyable and also like most meaningful.
Has it changed a lot since you've gotten to the sport? Like all of that? Like, I mean, experience comes into play, you learn a lot more, but has it changed for you?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it just, I feel much more of a triathlete now. Like before, like people often ask triathletes like, oh, what's your best one? Like, what's your best discipline? And when I first started, I would be like, oh, running or oh, swimming. And now I'm like, oh, all three, depending on the day. I don't know. I'm like, there's always like one that's harder, but it's never the same one for me. And I was like, that means that, like, to me, that's like, oh, I am a triathlete now. Like I am, I've done the whole thing. And I think just like observing kind of other people's successes and hardships also shapes my experiences and how I want to be. And what I've realized is that the harder I work to be a good athlete, the better it also makes me as an athlete, but the better it makes me as just like a person in general. And everything I've learned as an athlete is completely like helpful off of like the field of play. And so I think that's also like been what I've learned through triathlon and the person I've become through triathlon is something that I think is really cool just by like taking those. And a lot of it's mental, like the physical part, I think a lot of people can do. I think it's the mental things that really set people apart, and having put in a lot of effort on that and kind of figuring out my processes and communicating, like I'm a much better communicator now than I ever was when I first started and felt like I didn't know enough to say anything or take part in kind of my career.
Right. And after all of that, like you have so many, like I said, there's so many accolades that I could list off year after year, but what would you say is your greatest accomplishment?
I mean, part of it I would say is medaling at the Olympics. It's hard not to say those, but the like 2019 winning the world championship was like probably my biggest accomplishment, because like 2 weeks before that race was the Tokyo test event, to like our first opportunity to qualify for the Olympics. And I actually ended up crashing and like getting 20 some stitches in my mouth and like breaking my nose and just having like impact. And I had set myself up to basically have a really good chance of winning the world championship until that point. And then when that happened, I was like, oh no, like I just threw it all out the window. And then 2 weeks later in Lausanne at the world championship, I actually ended up not just winning the world championship, but also winning that race. And for me, that was the biggest accomplishment, because it was overcoming a lot. It was like being able to regroup after really falling short of one of my major goals of 2019, which was to qualify for the Olympics, like outright and automatically. And it was really cool because like my mom and my dad were there, Tommy was there, and like it was just a really like meaningful race, and more meaningful even now that my dad passed away. Just like having him there kind of trumps for me.
It's funny, like the things we remember, you know, after we accomplish something, you know, and it could be, it's different every time, but yeah, that's certainly like having your family there is a memorable thing. And after, you know, like, how do you, you know, obviously, like, you're a professional and you're a triathlete, and, you know, we talk about this idea of, like, how we're identified, you know, how we identify ourselves, but how do you want to be remembered once your career is over?
Oh, I just want to be remembered as a good person who was, like, impactful for people and just someone that someone wanted to be around and helpful. And I hope that really that's all I want to be remembered for.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's like, what, it's like, this is your job. It's what you love to do. But, you know, like, all these medals and like I said, trophies, and where do you put all this stuff? And I mean, it can't be in that tiny house. I read that you were on a TV show. Like,
yeah, we were, but we're in a big house now.
Okay.
We have a normal size house.
Okay.
Most of the medals are in our attic, but I do have my Olympic medals that are in, like, I don't even know what you call it. My mom and actually, and my world championship trophy, because my family put it there. Tommy liked to mess with me because we have a mantle now above a fireplace, and he'd put all my world championship trophies across the mantle. I'm like, that is not where I want them. Like, no, like, not in the living. Like, it's like in the living room. It's like, this is weird. Yeah. Take them down.
And what caused you to get that, or what caused you? Why did you guys move into the small house? You know, I'm very curious about that. That might be something most people don't know.
Yeah, we lived in a tiny house, not very much, because, like, part of the reason that it worked so well for us at the time was we didn't have a home. So every time we'd, like, go, like, come back to the U.S., we would be staying with someone else, and then we'd be, like, moving stuff, and we'd be sending our things to all these different places because we didn't have a home. But we didn't really want to have to, like, take care of a house or, like, have the upkeep or anything. And so to us, the tiny house seemed perfect. And it really was, but we didn't end up being there quite as much as, like, we even thought we would. So a lot of our stuff actually ended up in the shed outside of the tiny house. but no, it was for, like, our, like, we always expected at some point that we would get, like, a house, like, a more traditional house like we have now. But for the time when we were just always on the road, it was, like, just nice to come back to, like, our space and our house, where there really wasn't a purpose of having that because of how much we were on the road.
Right. Just a place to rest your head and, yeah, something simple and easy, low maintenance. So that's
yeah. Great.
But you've moved on to a big house, so I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you.
No room for a pain cave in there, that's for sure. So
well, yeah, no, when we did, it would be like we'd have to put on the dehumidifier because it would stick with
the house. Oh god. So what would you say triathlon has taught you?
I think it's mostly taught me just how to, like, better myself and, like, really, like, take responsibility for that and not kind of just be like, oh, this is how I am. Like, but, like, really work on the skills that would make me better. And I think it also taught me that there's no right way to do life, and, like, to just because I think I always thought it was just like, go to school, like, get married, have kids, have a job, like, that type of thing. And triathlon really taught me that there's no correct way to do things or correct sequence of events. Like, you can do it however you want. and that'll have a lot of special moments and open up a lot more experiences. And when you are ready to settle down, like now we are, like, here we are. And we're still doing triathlon, though.
Right. And I think, and, like, I love that because, you know, as soon as you can understand that, it unlocks so many opportunities, and, you know, you open your mind, and then the world kind of opens up to you. And I think that's really cool because, you know, you might be more accepting of opportunities that other people would not be otherwise, you know, like,
yeah. And I think too, also, like, now having Kimball, it also shows me, like, we can travel like everything we did before, not everything we did before, we'll do the same way, but like we can travel with him. Like he is 4 months old, but he just got back from a trip to Bermuda. And then next week we're leaving like for the UK. Like, so, and like, these are things that I don't think are easy, and like, they may not like make sense to people, but I'm like, well, how's he going to learn to travel if we don't do it? We're both going to be uncomfortable. That's okay. Like, I guess that's another thing it's taught me is like, you're going to be uncomfortable, but like growth happens from there and it gets easier from there. Sometimes, other times it's still uncomfortable, but that's okay.
Right. Yeah. And you're right about that. You know, you're going to get him used to that kind of way of living, and who knows, you might harvest your own little triathlete, super triathlete between two elite mom, you know, mom and dad elite, you know, pedigree. So that's, we'll have to look for that down the road. Maybe, we'll have this podcast going enough, long enough to interview him one day. So,
yeah.
And what does this all mean to you? What is, you know, being a pro triathlete mean to you?
I think it's just opened up so many experiences that I know that I never would have had. Like, I've achieved more than I ever thought I could have. I've met more people. I've gone more places. Like, it's just really, it means a lot, because I know triathlon has provided me with a life that I couldn't have even dreamed of. Like Tommy likes to say, we just live like a life that we like a dream, the dream life. And it's kind of true in the sense that we're doing exactly like what we want to be doing, and we've gotten so many amazing experiences through it. And that's the like part that it's just been amazing. Like between meeting people all over the world, going to places that like I never would have gone to. Like I met my husband in Tisavaris, Hungary. I would never have thought that would have happened prior to this.
Amazing. So were you there for an event and he was the photographer, or was he competing? Or
yeah, we were both competing at the time.
Okay, great. Very cool. Yeah. So you like met through the sport, and that's beautiful, you know? So, but you both like accepted some kind of opportunity that brought you there. And that's, a nice story. Where can people find out more about you, Katie?
Mostly through Instagram. I'm pretty open book there. I would say, yeah, that's mostly.
Yeah, and you have a nice website too and everything. And like I said, you sent me a link for your bio with Team USA, and that's got a lot of info too, so that's great. But I want to thank you so much. I'll let you get back to Kimbo, and thanks for taking the time. You know, it was amazing it was amazing chatting with you, and hopefully we see you back in Montreal one day, and good luck with everything. I'm sure you'll get back to form.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been running for a while now, 12 years in fact. It's funny to look back on how I got started and how different things are for me now. I made a lot of mistakes simply because I didn't know any better. I ran hard every time I went out. I ran longer and fewer days to increase volume. I wasn't recovering as well as I should have, and I didn't prepare long enough for distances I was taking on. What I wish I did from the start was get a coach to help guide me through and teach me the right way. Sound familiar? Well, I learned a lot from those early mistakes, and now I want to help you. Over the last year, I've gradually entered into the world of coaching, helping athletes of all levels reach their goals. It's virtual, interactive, one-on-one training that will help you focus on running so that you can hit your next target. Just shoot me a message at jpugs84 on Instagram with any questions you may have, and we'll take things from there. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to leave your reviews for us on Apple Podcasts or message us directly on Instagram with your comments, feedback, and suggestions for future guests. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a WRG production, produced by Leslie Woods and Forrest McKay. All the amazing graphics you see on social media are created by Ryan Bondi, and the show is hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.